Let's turn in our Bibles to the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John, and we're going to read chapter 2. And my text, which goes along with the Lord's Day, is verses 8 through 12. And I will not be rereading those verses. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that hateth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. He that doeth and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So far the reading of God's word. Let's also look at the catechism then. As we are now in Lord's Day 40 with the sixth commandment. Three questions and answers. Question 105. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I may lay aside all desire of revenge, also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with a sword to prevent murder. Question 106. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and he accounts all these as murder. Question 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good, even to our enemies. Loved in our Lord Jesus Christ, our nation has developed a shield over the nation, a missile defense system. Why? Because our nation has enemies. And if they could, those enemies would shoot us and would overtake us. And so the nation has this missile defense system that is a shield. Now use that illustration because God also has a shield over his people living in this world to protect and to enhance the life of his people. That command is not absolute in that all killing is murder. We have to recognize that. The capital punishment that is called for is not murder, but it surely is killing, taking that person's life. Or if you defend yourself against someone that breaks in and harms or is threatening to harm your family, you have the right to kill that person. That's not murder. Or the government, given a sword in order to prevent reckless, sinful living, harm to its citizens, or murder, has the capital punishment given unto them as a command, don't they? They are to take that man's life. We read in Genesis chapter 9. This is after the flood, and God comes to Noah with that renewed life that is on earth. And we read in Genesis 9, verses 5 and 6, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Man is a special creature that even the reprobate, you may not take his life, because he was created by God with a capacity to walk with God, to know God, to serve God. That is, he was given a mind and a soul and a will. So over against the animals, which you may kill and you may eat or put down, one may not willfully take the life of another human being. Soldiers who are called on the battle to defend their nation or its interest do kill other soldiers. That is not murder. When the government has capital punishment, that is not murder. It is obeying God, taking away that person's life. Positively, over against the negative side, positively, as the Catechism so beautifully states, we are commanded to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor and to care for our neighbor, to seek his good, just as we would do for ourselves. Positively, also, it shows us that not one of us has clean hands, do we? No, hopefully none of us have with our hands killed a person. But look at all the causes of murder. Who can say of this command, "I'm blameless"? Anger or hatred or envy or bitterness. Thoughts. There was a pastor once who jokingly said he had some members in his congregation that he prays for them that they would be taken up to heaven. And his desire for them to go up to heaven wasn't altruistic, was it? In other words, he really would like to see them no longer in his congregation. They were such awful people. But we may not have those thoughts toward one another. For our neighbor is put in his place next to us by God. And God has given every human being that life. And we must respect that. Let's look at then God's shield over life. First of all, the natural hatred of humanity. Second of all, let's see that it is a matter of the heart. And then thirdly, how believers are to preserve and love the life that God has given. John talks about darkness, didn't he, in our chapter? "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. That is man by nature, isn't it? Cain. Envious. Bitter. Killed Abel. Lamech. Boast to his two wives of how he has killed two men. You cannot turn on the news without hearing of the killing that is taking place. The killing that's taking place in Ukraine. The killing that is taking place in Gaza, the West Bank. One cannot turn on the news without hearing of murder taking place in the streets of Chicago. One cannot help but hear and see all around that rivalry that takes place. Bombs going off. Man against man. War and rumor of war. What is the sin forbidden by this commandment? It is this, that God has given to every human being their physical life. And as God is the only one that can give that life, it is only God alone who may take that life. As Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And our touching another person's life, we are touching God who gave them that life. To kill is of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, who claimed that they were children of Abraham and that they were of God, he says to them, John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you also do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Murder is of the devil. Murder. We must not kill. We must not injure our neighbor in his body. For God owns his life, not we. And the same is true with our own bodies. We may not take our life, even if it is very troubled. Disappointments in it. Racked with pain. The Lord gave. The Lord took away. The mercy killing that is taking place at times in many different countries, allowed even, is wrong. Suicide is wrong. It's wrong not to take care of your body. Either not eating enough, anorexic, or eating too much, bulimic. Drinking too much alcohol, eating different or taking different drugs, engaged in sports that is dangerous, sinful. God says, I give life. I take it away. Therefore, we have to care for ourselves. We need to take care of our neighbor whom God puts next to us. We may not try to remove them. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in the danger of hellfire. In other words, words can kill. As one author wrote, more people have been hurt and have been slaughtered by words and gestures and looks than with a bayonet. How do we treat our neighbor? Do we yell in anger at them? Do we call them names? Boys and girls at school, do you bully other members in your class? Do you call them names? There's a saying about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt. That's a lie. The emotional abuse and damage done to a person's psyche by the words that we say, what we say about them, or if we make fun of those who have different disabilities, shame on us. And I've heard that it is taking place even in our Christian schools. It takes place in some of our Christian homes where husbands abuse their wives verbally day after day, or don't build them up at all, praise them as they are supposed to. From the Psalms, children and husbands praise, Proverbs 31, their wife and their mother. Words hurt. James 5, verse 4. We hurt one another as employers if we do not pay our employees what is necessary for them to have the regular standard of living. They might not quit, but we are defrauding them. James 5, verse 4, behold, the hire of the laborers have reaped down the fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Boys and girls, you remember how when Cain killed Abel, God came to Cain and says, what did you do? He says, I'm not my brother's keeper. And the Lord says, the blood of your brother crieth out to me. In other words, it cries out for justice, God's justice. And now James is using that same kind of phrase, isn't he? How we treat others. No, we might not put a knife in them or use a gun, but if we don't pay our employees what they are worth for what they are doing, a decent salary, their blood cries out to God for justice. Not only is it killing if we do these things ourselves, but also if we stand by and we allow it to happen. If a mother would stand by while her husband is belittling the children, or refuses ever to say anything nice to build them up, she is also guilty of murder, hurting the person's psyche in ways that are even worse than taking their life. All that leads up to actual murder is sin. Even if it is accidental or negligence. We read in Exodus 21, "But if an ox were wont to push his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death." Let's translate that today, because not too many of us have cattle. But if a person would have a pit bull, known to be dangerous at times, and doesn't keep him contained, he is guilty of murder, taking someone else's life, causes, many different causes, isn't there? To show the seriousness of this sin, God commands, doesn't he, punishment for murder. Not by us individually, but God has put as a shield our government. And as we read in Romans 13, to the government is given a sword. Given a sword not to say to the government, now, if you like to use it, you may, but you don't have to use it. But the government, acting as a minister of God, is commanded to use capital punishment for those who endanger the life of others. They are to be put to death. We try to do it humanely, using a kind of different drugs, and some of them have failed. Perhaps we need to go back to what they did in the Bible, and they stoned a person to death for these kinds of sins. Murder. God takes it seriously. That commandment given right after the flood, by man shall his life be taken away, reiterated at Sinai, wasn't it? As a deterrent. Thou shalt not kill. The penalty is death. And the government then, used as a minister of God, brings about God's justice. And beloved, see, it is all a matter of the heart. That's my second point. It's not just the outward deed, but it's the inward feeling of the heart. And murder fills the unconverted heart of man, natural man. You see, all have that kind of heart after the fall of Adam and Eve. As the Catechism says, a hatred for God and a hatred also for man. But it's not only the reprobate that are guilty of this commandment, but you and I are, because you and I also have that old man of sin within us. And no, we might not do the deed as David did. There was a man who had a heart after God, but that sinful nature was still there, so that he lusted over his neighbor's wife. And when his neighbor would not cooperate, when he took him back home from the battle and go into his wife, David had him put at the front of the battle with everyone else pulling back, and murdered him. Murder. But how easy it is for us, if we don't do it by deed, to do it by words or by thoughts. We don't want that person moving next door to us. Maybe they don't keep up their yard very nice, and it brings down your value of your house when you have to sell it. How easy we become filled with anger and bitterness and envy and anger and hatred. And they are accounted by God as murder. I say unto you, Matthew 5, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And then look at it, even calling them names. Raca, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Words do hurt. When we think of this commandment, let's think broadly. Let's think of our own government. Just read on the news of how our vice president went to visit a Planned Parenthood place in Minneapolis. Everyone knows that she's very pro-abortion. Any stage of their life. And we look at the government that's supposed to be protecting life, whether it be in the womb yet or born and growing older. And the government condones it, allows it to take place. Look at what takes place in the church and has taken place. I've talked about emotional abuse. Harsh words all the time coming from a father to his son. Never anything good. Hurt. Or a husband who verbally abuses his wife. Emotional abuse. Mental abuse. Sexual abuse. For those in the church who have done that, they are disciplined. And one of the reasons given for the discipline is not only then the seventh commandment for that kind of abuse, but also the ninth commandment. Lambs and sheep of the church have been hurt emotionally, psychologically, physically. Murder. Anyone here want to say you're not guilty of this sixth commandment? Bitter thoughts, envious thoughts, angry words. Scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. Boys and girls, teasing at school, laughing at another classmate, calling them names, gestures. It could be looks, and then we say, if looks could kill, that person would be dead. Have you given that kind of a look to someone else? Or waving your hand, and I'm not talking about a waving your hand in a friendly way, waving your hand or a finger, letting a person know what you think of them. May God forgive us for these sins that are wrapped in our hearts, that are given expression then with our mouths or with our faces, or with our words and our hands. Destroying, putting down, in order to build yourself up. That phrase, once again, more are slain or wounded by above the poisonous weapons of murder than the bayonet. And God's word is telling us now in this and the negative, put those weapons away. The unregenerate are filled with hate and are murderers. because they are of the devil. But that darkness has been removed from you and from me. 1 John chapter 2. And we are brought into the light. We are made children of the light so that we now love our neighbor as ourselves. And we express that love. We care for one another. We build up rather than tear down. Oh, boys and girls, are you doing that at school? Building up your other classmates? Not making fun of someone that has a disability? Parents, are you building up the children in the home? Husbands, are you building up your wives in the home? With your looks, with your words, with your gestures, with your life. The only way of getting rid of this murder that it takes place in our hearts is by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has saved us from sin and by His Spirit also sanctifies us by His Word. Turning on your knees and asking the Lord to give you a large heart full of love. Christ Jesus. How beautiful that after these commandments of how we are to care for one another, the Holy Spirit writes in verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Forgiven. But as Jesus also forgave the woman caught in adultery, He says, I don't condemn you either. He said, go sin no more. Let's hear this commandment this morning. Let's go to the cross. Let's go to the cross for our bitter thoughts, our envious thoughts, our angry words or gestures or looks. Or perhaps we didn't do it ourselves, but maybe a classmate did it and we stand by and do nothing about it. We go by like the chief priest and the Levite went past that man lying next to the road or even going on the other side of the road from him. You and I need to be like the Samaritan who cares for his neighbor, who binds him up, who supports him, encourages him. Go to the cross. For Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, His work is not only for us, but His work is also, beloved, in us by the Spirit and by His Word. Those who have that regenerated heart will serve God. Your sins are forgiven you. Go sin no more. That brings me to my third point. How? How will you and I, how will believers preserve and love the life that God has given to themselves and to others? Let's go, first of all, to the pattern set before us of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, who loved us. Who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to take our place and die for our sins. Let's go to our Father and just look at the Father's life in Himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit not fighting with each other, not harsh words together, but of one mind, full of love for each other. The Father loves the Son in the Spirit. The Son loves the Father in the Spirit. That beautiful life that God has in Himself. Harmony. And that life that he gives to us, then taking us up into that fellowship. Perhaps you were wondering why we sang that one song about the communion of saints, brotherhood. Well, it's because that's what God has given to us as a church. He has taken all of us up into his own life to share, to experience his love for us, but also then to share that love with one another and receive that love and encouragement from one another. Yes, let's look to our God in heaven. Love is a delight in the relationship as God delights in his children, we heard on Wednesday prayer day service. You and I delight in talking to our God. You and I delight in our fellow saints. We are filled with kindness toward one another. We are also long-suffering at times with one another. Do we ever hurt each other? Sure we do. Are there members in churches that I've been in that have hurt me as a pastor? Sure I have. But what do I do with it? Do I react in kind, that is, verbally, dirty looks, refuse to talk to them? Or do I conduct myself, and do you conduct yourself as Christ? Christ who told us to turn the other cheek. Think a moment. Jesus' first word from the cross. Nailing him, his enemies, nailing him to the cross. Did he curse him? No. He prayed for him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That love of God himself and his Christ shed abroad in our hearts, which motivates us then to love him and to love one another. Yes, we have to love one another as we love ourselves. What does that mean? That we see ourselves as a child of God and we do no harm to ourselves. We care about the life that God has given to us and we want to use that life productively. And what we wish for ourselves, then we also project out to those around us. And that means, beloved, that we have to work at it. We have to work at it because of that sinful nature that is within us. So what do you do if all of a sudden someone makes you very angry because of what they have said or what they have done? Fathers, how do you do that in the home? So that you don't act out of anger and take a belt and whip a kid. You restrain your anger. That means you count. You count to 5 or you even count to 10 or if you need to, you count further before you respond. For discipline is always to be done in love, not in bitterness or in anger. Just as the church also will discipline those who abuse sheep and lambs, the church disciplines them. But you know, not only is the sin of murder of those who abuse, but that sin of murder also can be of those who have been abused and want revenge. They want that person to hurt badly for it. For God's word here in the catechism brings up also the urge for revenge. It's sinful. The church disciplines, not acting out now God's vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The government does it in vengeance. But the church disciplines always in love. Love for that member that has abused, hoping that they will see their sin, repent of that sin, change their lives, whether it be verbal, or whether it be emotional, or whether it be mental, or whether it be sexual abuse. We restrain our anger. We ask God for the grace. And maybe it means even taking anger management classes somewhere. Second of all, we work for and we pray for a meek and humble spirit. Let me give an illustration of that. Moses. Poor Moses. 40 years he led Israel there in the wilderness. And how was he prayed? How was he repaid? Over and over and over again, the people murmured against him and his leadership. A meek and humble spirit. He continued to lead them till the Lord took him away. Thirdly, how do we work at this? Shun angry persons. For anger, like a fire, spreads quickly. It's easy to stoke one another up to the anger. We have to fight against that. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry person, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Yes, ye, learn his ways, and get a snare for thy soul. Who are you communicating with? Who are you sharing your life with? Do not be a friend of an angry person. They are sinners. What motivations are there for you and me to love our neighbors and to love ourselves? See it as our duty, our God-given duty. Seek to do that as those who are to resemble God. May others look at our kind spirit, gentle spirit, loving spirit, and be able to see that we've been born again, that we belong to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, the wonderful gospel of Christ Jesus. Those times when you and I have reacted out of anger instead of love. You and I who have cut down, slayed another person with our words rather than building them up with pleasant phrases and kind words. You and I who might have given that look that could kill instead of a smile. God forgives us when we recognize our sin and confess it. He blots out that sin. Do you see the necessity for the law to be read every Sunday morning? For you and I, by nature, we want to build ourselves up. We can be so soon proud. We can be like the Pharisee, Lord, I'm better than everyone else. But every one of those commandments, including this one about murder, stares us in the face on Sunday morning, and we're humbled. We think back of different events during the week. Why did I fly off the handle? Why was I so bitter to my mate? Why did I say this? Why did I do that? Confess those murderous thoughts of the mind that arise from a heart, that arise from that sinful nature still in us. Go to the cross of Jesus Christ, and there's forgiveness, and there is grace there. grace that will enable us, like light upon our path, to be children that resemble our Father in heaven. Amen. Father in heaven, we come with humility, for we by nature are murderers. Forgive us, especially in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we have acted that way with fellow believers. Give us thy grace that we may be kind, that we may be patient, that we may be forgiving, that we may be those who build up. Build up our spouse, build up our children, build up our fellow classmates. We pray that thy light may shine in our lives. For we are not of the darkness, but thou hast brought us into the light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.